CalTalkRadio.com. The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
Hey, yo, you know what? Hey, speak English. I don't speak that stuff. What you saying, huh?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Believe me, gentlemen, it will be glorious.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
Suck on that unit, Kurt.
Hosted by Tim Stein.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
The Omega.
Now shut the fuck up and let me do my job.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Hey guys, I'm good. I made it through. You can untie me now.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I got a good brain.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What the hell does that even mean?
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
What you getting at with your book? Spit that shit out, man.
Hey, it's Chris Jericho.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, everybody. This is Biff Naked. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
It's WTR Sunday Night.
Wow. The insecurity level with you guys is ridiculous.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We don't have a WWE pay-per-view to cover, for once, in any way, shape, or form. So I guess we're talking general wrestling stuff. And yes, if you're here for the pre-show, we have a bit of a challenge that our producer has presented to us.
Yep. I'm just amazed that another wrestling organization has Sonic's gold ring up to, for someone to climb after.
How else are you supposed to travel to a different world?
I mean, you need another 49 to go super, so one's not a big deal. Okay, so that's another wrestling organization. We're going to talk Monday Night Raw. Or at least what we would do with it. At least that's the idea. So, let's get underway. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining us tonight, the one who devised this, Sir Rockin'.
Yeah, and then there's an AEW pay-per-view that I have to watch for another show, too. So, distracted.
Okay. The idea man who's distracted. So, I guess we'll just break all the rules we set down. So, we have with us one Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah, there was another pay-per-view that I didn't have to watch for another thing, so I've shut it off and I'll finish it later.
Okay, there, you get your priorities straight.
Well, I'm not responsible for doing another show on it, so like,
I'll
give him a break.
He can watch it casually. I have a podcast to record about it.
Yeah.
And of course, the one who has to keep this all on the rails. Good luck, as usual. The one and only Tim Stein.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. Coming up at some point in time, we've got an episode coming up where we're actually going to preview the next pay-per-view, which is WWE Fastlane, I do believe.
Yep, the first show on Peacock.
That's going to be a lot of fun and kind of interesting.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
But in the meantime, tonight, we're going to fix WWE Raw. Believe it or not, it's broken.
Yeah, everyone says it's broken. Everyone says there's problems with the show. It's the 3-hour struggle to get through. That's what people say. That's what the internet tells me. The internet tells me a lot of things, but this one in particular, everyone is quite fond of saying that Raw is a struggle. Raw is awful. Raw is terrible.
Well, while we're at it, am I...
There you go.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Is it much better or good?
A lot. It's
you back. Sound like you.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's good that I sound like me because I wouldn't want to sound like somebody from Scotland, you know.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you don't.
Always count on Omega. Thanks, buddy.
So they were challenged with putting together 10 things they would do to fix Monday Night Raw.
Oh, come on, Rock. We're challenged in more ways than just that.
This is the task that's been put in front of them.
Waka waka.
So you guys now get to talk about your list. We're not going to get everyone 10 right out of the gate. We'll mix and match. We'll start with Casey and give us a couple things you have on your list to start.
One of the big ones for me is to like not rewrite the script an hour before the show starts. stick with your original plan. Things might actually work out better that way if you long-term book, like back in the day when Pat Patterson and Vince McMahon and crew would like plan out an entire year's worth of storylines and they didn't change it. Now they plan out an entire week's worth of storylines and they change it 5 or 6 times in the span of that week and things get lost. Continuity goes down the poop chute and everybody gets frustrated because of it. That is a big one for me.
Okay, so that's one of yours on your list. Did anyone else have that?
Oh, me.
You did?
Yeah, that was my number one on the list.
Okay. Tell me why it's number one on your list.
I didn't write it down as long-term booking. I put it down as long-term writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can slow burn a feud. We've seen WWE slow burn feuds. Like, they're so capable of that. It's the fact that you're right. Like, we have... it seems like every other week we find out that Raw was like they finished writing it an hour before they went on the air. There's some, I remember one Raw where they were still writing it when they went on the air. You can't have successful shows, especially on television, and expect you to have like a good narrative, a good story for people to follow if you're basically just throwing it out there at the last minute. You have to plan it out in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to have twists and turns. It has to have actual developments. It has to have elements that you can bite into every week and not just like, cause like you could honestly just like skip watching Raw between pay-per-views and still follow what's going on. It's not hard.
And like, just think about how much better the performers would be able to like sell the stories if they had more time to work with memorizing scripts or knowing what they're going to do beforehand and giving them time to brainstorm ideas of things that they could do. The product can only get better. Can only get better if you plan ahead.
Okay. Tim's been very quiet on this topic. Tim, was that anywhere on your list?
I did not have that on my list, but I had something about scripting on my list.
All right, give us one on your list then.
Make it less scripted. Let the wrestlers who can cut wicked promos on their own do so. Go back in time to when John Cena was doing his diss raps. It was worth me tuning into Raw every week just to see what he would come up with next. He stopped doing it because they started writing it out for him. And it's like, no, don't do that. He's fine. Just give him the points that he's got to get across and let him go. There are a lot of talented guys and gals on that roster who can talk. There are a lot that need help, but there are a lot that can, you know, they can shoot.
Okay.
Let them shoot.
Okay. So we all got one from each. Omega, what's number two on your list?
Number two on my list is to utilize the talent they have. And I don't mean just like, you know, and Tim is right in the, you know, that's somewhere else on my list and slightly different, slightly different idea.
I would like to just interrupt to take this time to point out that Omega actually said Tim is right about something. Thank you.
I mean, I have to give you one a year.
It's a long time for the end of the year.
Mm-mm. Oh, no, I'm just getting it out of the way.
Okay. I see. If I were you, I would have saved it till like December.
No. You see, what happens is like if I give him one like in like December last year and then like December and then give him one this early, you know, like it's like I can go basically like 2 years without having to do it.
That's fair.
So for me, by utilizing every talent, it's not just let them like, you know, not just let them go off on the mic on their own, let them improv, let them actually, you know, the old fashioned bullet points and go out there and be yourself. But look at how many people are on the roster that they don't do anything with whatsoever. Like, even if you're paying them to just sit there and just sit in the back and do nothing. Put them in a match, even if they're going to lose, because the more people you have out there every week, the less you're not like the less stale everyone else on the roster is going to feel. It doesn't feel like you're going to be using like the same. You know, if you got 50 guys you can go for, why are we seeing the same 30 every week? You can take a week off on some of them. You can instead of booking, like trying to book huge matches for everybody, you can have a match where just someone looks good once in a while. You know, you got guys like Bo Dallas, who hasn't done anything in a year,
but he's living his best life,
but he's a talent that you have paid to do nothing for the last year. Like, get this. That's literally one of the, like, from the backstage reports, that literally is one of the cases of, well, the writers don't have any ideas for him. He is the brother of Bray Wyatt. He looks the part now. Bray Wyatt, who used to have a clan called the Wyatt family, and they can't figure out how to use his real brother. Hang on, I need to change my list to fire the writers. It's got to be in here somewhere.
I'm thinking they should just make Bo Dallas one of the puppets.
But yeah, or you should, maybe he you should start find, voicing you should all the find, puppets.
You should find out that he's the puppeteer.
Did anyone have that same thing or anything like that on their list?
I mean, I had make people care about the characters.
All right, tell me about it.
So, I mean, like Omega said, there are a lot of guys that they reuse, and there are a lot of guys in the back that they're not using. But even a lot of times, the guys that they use, like, they don't really like, oh, here's wrestler X. But they don't really give us a reason to, like, invest in wrestler X, whether it be good or bad. Mm-hmm. So, for example, like, the best example is Retribution. You build up this team. You're supposed to make them frustrated wrestlers who have hidden their identities and changed who they are because they're frustrated with where they are. And then you don't do anything with them. And the things that you do take away their credibility as, like, anarchists. Oh, we give you guys contracts. Well, that's not really how that works. Like, it would have been better if they forced them to give them contracts. So be like, we have these contracts, they're based on what we want, and now we're one step closer to achieving our goal. As opposed to, oh, we gave these guys contracts so that we can control them. Well, then all of a sudden, you take away the whole reason why they're there is because they want to uproot the control of the company. So now you have three, four, I mean, and if you kind of include Ali, which they're doing some stuff with, but he's walking around with four other people that, you know, they don't really do anything with. Do something with them if you're going to have them profiled that often, as opposed to just having Ali angry that they lose all the time. Like, get them to do something outside of matches to make us want to see people beat them up. Make them do things that, like, when they lose, I go, yeah, they're supposed to lose. That's what I want to see. I like that they lost because they did this list of things that make me hate them, as opposed to, well, they're supposed to be bad guys and they're losing, and I feel sympathy for them because all they do is lose and get yelled at. But even then, it's like more sympathy that, like, Dominik Dijakovic can't be Dominik Dijakovic, who was awesome in NXT, and now he's just this big dude that gets beat by everybody and then berated by a guy half his size. I don't think that makes sense.
What do you guys think on that?
I mean, there's a lot of people on the roster I would love to care about if they gave me a reason to care.
Exactly.
Like, Apollo Crews is a fantastic talent, but why the hell do I care about the guy?
Well, he has an accent now.
Uh-huh.
The worst, fakest Nigerian accent you've ever heard. I could do a fake Nigerian accent, but
he couldn't. Don't can you do? No. Don't.
Can
no.
I
no,
can.
No. No. No.
I can do a better fake Nigerian accent than him.
I mean, if you can, you better be telling me about $26 million that you want to wire to me. And all I have to do is give you all of my vital information.
All I need from you is your
No. 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 No.
No. No.
It's true.
No.
I'm not even trying. Shut up.
Telling you no.
I'm telling you, I'm not even trying. Shut up.
All right, what's next on your list, Tim?
Oh, I'm just looking at everything that I've got written down here. Thinking, seeing as we've been talking about storylines and scripting and writing and using other talent. Story arcs are sketched out for 6 or 12 months, depending on what their end game is and what the goal is. And there's your plan, but don't write it in stone. Now the rule, when you book a wrestling show is don't give the crowd what they want. Always make them, leave a little bit ticked off at what happened. I guess thinking is they'll come back next week to see if, you know, it gets resolved the way they want to see it. Sometimes you miss what isn't working when you don't, like when you follow that too religiously. And there are too many bookers, both on the independent scene and WWE, AEW, Impact, Ring of Honor, that have blinders on when it comes to the old adage, don't give the crowd what they want. There are sometimes you've got to pay attention to not just the fact that they're reacting, but how they're reacting. Because if you don't, you're going to miss what's not working. Case in point, they did the whole Katie Vick angle for how long? And they finally blew it out of the water with Shawn Michaels. Somebody noticed how bad it was and how much worse it was getting. And they were noticing the fan reaction. So what did they do? They had Shawn come on in a skit, whatever you want to call it, talking trash about the Katie Vick storyline. Somebody asked him, does that offend you as a born-again Christian? He says, hell no, it offends me as a wrestling fan.
Was that Bischoff?
No, it wasn't Bischoff.
No, it was Shawn. It was a Shawn quote.
I mean, no, I know it was a Shawn quote. I mean, who he's talking to.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Bischoff who said that to him.
And my memory was Bischoff. Who was it?
No, it was Bischoff. He was talking to Bischoff, yeah.
Yeah.
Was he talking to Bischoff?
Mm-hmm.
I was positive it was not Bischoff.
The quote was sort of like, were you offended, Sean? And how derogatory Bischoff gets when he says the word Sean.
Mm.
That's what the part I remember.
Okay. Well, if it was Bischoff, it was Bischoff. I thought it was the other guy. What's his name? Oh, fuck. Anyway,
circle back to your point.
You got to ask yourself, why is the crowd reacting the way they are if it's not the way you want to get them reacting? Don't be afraid to make adjustments. Casey, you know exactly what I'm talking about because we've done this.
No, Ash, not Russo.
So that was one of the ones on my list. Another one of the ones on my list.
Casey, what was next on yours?
Another one on my list, is, not too centric around the wrestlers, but like the sheer amount of jump cuts and all over the place camera work hurts my brain. And I mean,
when they go up and down and side to side with the, and in and out and in and out with the handheld.
No, I'm talking when like in the span of like 5 seconds, they change the camera 16 times.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that too.
It's okay. Like, things have been, and it's not just WWE. It happens quite a bit, and I don't know if that's because it is like a popular thing to do in TV production nowadays or whatever, but so much stuff gets missed because they keep jumping from camera to camera, and a lot of the time those cameras are missing the parts that are supposed to be driving the matches and driving the story. And then they try and save face by going back and showing things on the replay, but all it does in my mind is be like, hey, here's an example of where we screwed up with our camera work, and now we have to show you how.
AJ Styles is debuting. Let's focus on Roman's stupid blank expression.
Yeah.
Edge is in his first match in so long. Let's cut away during his first spear.
Yeah. Yeah, there have been so many instances of, like, important parts of matches that they've missed because whoever is directing where the camera switches it too fast because, I don't know, he has ADD or something.
So
can't look at something for more than like half a second.
So this is on my list too.
Mm-hmm.
Except I wrote it down as Fire Kevin Dunn.
Close enough.
As someone who does editing, I'll tell you, Raw is one of the worst edited TV shows I've ever watched.
I mean, I didn't want to be that specific because I've seen it happen on other shows. I've seen it happen on Dynamite. I've seen it happen
seen it happen tonight on this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I've seen... Yeah, exactly. and I've seen it on any sort of televised wrestling I've seen people miss with the cameras, but just, yeah. So, like, don't just do it to fix Raw. Do it to fix all of wrestling.
May you care to elaborate more than just fire done?
Do I need more? Okay. Let's try. Yeah. The rapid camera cuts are meant to make it look more exciting. The random jump cut when they, like, hit and, you know, when they hit a move or there's some big impact, or it's supposed to make it look like a whole bunch of things are going on, even though it's, you know, it's nothing, but it makes it so hard to follow what is going on. And they're so obsessed with getting all the different camera angles working over and over and over. You do miss some vital things. You know, we missed, just the examples I brought up, you miss major moments. You know, that's a little bit of wrestling history, and it's out the window because, you know, someone was just obsessed with it. We had to show this one person in the crowd right at this second. No, you don't. You know, it's 5 seconds have gone by with one camera shot. I need to change to four other cameras here in the next 3 seconds or I'm going to lose my mind. It gets so complicated and convoluted. Like, it's exhausting watching Raw because I'm trying so hard to keep up with what's going on in the ring, because it's never on screen long enough for me to digest it. Let's just to point this home. Raw also has way too many little technical glitches here and there. They use the wrong graphic. They use the wrong pop-up for the championships. They put the wrong title in, or they put the wrong Twitter account attached to their little names when they've come down to the ring. WWE's been full of those errors for way too long, and for a major production company to be getting so many things wrong so consistently, you can't keep, you know, like, passing the buck or going, oh, that's just how it goes. At some point, you have to look at the person in charge of all that and go, you're not as good at your job as we thought you were.
Okay. Tim, what's next on yours?
Well, I don't have anything about camera work, but I'm kind of wishing I had. So, what do I want to pick onto here?
Just what's next on your list?
Here's a good one. Firm up the tag division and don't just throw teams together for 2 or 3 months at a time. Go back to dedicated teams, have more than 3 dedicated teams, and actually showcase the tag team division, both men and women.
Yep.
And I have another one. This is another one, a separate item on my list, which ties right into legitimizing the tag division. Is when you do break up a tag team, make sure it's a believable, real good reason.
Okay.
Have a plan when you break up a tag team, not.
Oh God, that would be novel, wouldn't it?
Oh.
Tucky.
I've got no problems when a tag team breaks up, so the two former tag team partners can beat each other up in a ring in a program. Is something that would wind up getting overused. But in this case, in this situation, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Because you could come up with many different reasons.
Yeah. You don't want to, like, there's no reason to break up a tag team and then have both individuals of that team just kind of take, you know, do basically nothing.
I mean, Rock brought up the great one right now, which is you break up Otis and Tucker randomly out of nowhere, both mostly just to get the Money in the Bank off of Otis. And you turn Tucker heel and he's done literally nothing. And now Otis is heel.
Yeah, that didn't. And he's back in another team. So what was the
two-man stable?
Literally accomplished nothing.
In that case, they literally screwed the pooch on it.
That goes back to my, like, utilize every talent. Look at all the people that WWE keeps at home doing nothing when you got a tag team division that has absolutely, you know, an absolute, like, just vacant air where there should be twice as many teams.
There could easily be twice as many teams.
So is that 2 off your list, Tim?
That's 2 off of my list.
Uh-huh. All right, Omega, what's one on your list?
A little bit related to a previous one, but I think it's worth mentioning on its own. Stop overexposing talent. You know, back in the day when you had big wrestlers, you didn't see them every single week. Sometimes you had guys who took weeks off, and then you tune in the next week going, oh, I hope I see him this week. So when they came out, that's a good surprise. You know, I'm a big fan of you know, like making people, you know, like making your wrestlers a spectacle. Like it's a special attraction just to see them in action, not just, we have to have a Randy Orton match this week, so we'll throw Randy Orton in with some, you know, with Ricochet. Why not? Randy Orton Ricochet for just for the sake of getting Randy Orton on the show. Maybe yeah, Randy Orton doesn't
make sense in that.
Yeah, like maybe Randy Orton doesn't need to be on a show. Maybe you can do a highlight reel or something and then just, you know, tune in, you know, Randy Orton live in action next week. So you get to see Randy Orton decimate someone. And guess what? It doesn't have to be a talent that should be, you know, you don't have to be burying your talent. Like I am kind of a big fan of I'm kind of a proponent of bringing back the jobber and bring back like the local talent to come in and just give, you know, like give your big stars a chance to showcase themselves without burying any of your other talent.
Well, that's exactly what bringing in the local jobber was meant to do.
I mean, and it's completely lost. These days you have 50-50 booking where we have to use the same people every single week. They have to have matches against each other. So no one really looks good. No one really looks, cut above anyone else anymore without, or at least without sacrificing someone who really shouldn't be losing that often, you know, like a Ricochet. Ricochet shouldn't be losing as often as he does. He's way better than that. Sometimes you just need to bring in local guys just so you can have, you know, a talent like Ricochet just put on, just like a 5-minute clinic of what he can do in the ring. Mm-hmm. And then not only is it a spectacle when you get to see him perform, then you let your imagination go, well, what if he faced someone like Randy Orton? What would he do against that? Yeah. You make him a bigger deal and you hand out more wins to your talents without making anyone else on your roster look bad.
Casey, what's next on your list?
I mean, Omega kind of touched on it a bit, but he said stop 50-50 booking. That was one on my list too, for all of those reasons. Like, it's hard to elevate guys if there's 50-50 booking. On top of which, like, the non-finishes to matches are way overused. It's more surprising when someone gets a definitive win than someone gets a count out or they lose due to a distraction where something pops up on the screen and lo and behold, they have to stare at the screen. They can't focus on the match. I haven't seen a single wrestler in I don't know how long on Raw or SmackDown that doesn't think, oh wait, I'm still in a match. I shouldn't be watching what's going on the screen. I should finish the match first. Never happens. Or some sort of interference. It's way overused. Let's kill that 50-50 booking and give, like, sorry to some guys or bring in the jobbers, but people gotta win properly. Or lose properly.
Okay. Tim, what's next on yours?
Oh, this is gonna be a lot of fun. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, we saw the Attitude Era. One of the things that made the Attitude Era compulsive viewing was how WWE got rid of the clownish storylines and actually played off of real life.
For the most part.
They, in a few cases, went a little too far. One perfect example is Shawn Michaels, and I quote, Sunny Days. Without elaborating on what he was talking about, because I don't know if we need to or not.
I think everybody knows.
It pissed off Brett and Julie a lot that he went and did that. But, that may have been going a little too far. But Rusev is no longer with the company. Why didn't somebody come up, cut a promo against Lana about her husband being chased off to the minor leagues? You could have gotten something out of that. Right.
Well, because storyline wise, they're already divorced and it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, that's fine. During the Attitude Era, that didn't matter either. Stuff like that. They would still come out with it. You've got to be able to come up with things between these wrestlers who are butting heads with each other and make sure that the one that you're shooting on. Okays what you're going to be bringing up. Don't make a slight little faux pas where you decide to talk about, oh, your brother's death, if you guys pick up what I'm referencing there.
Yeah.
With Charlotte. Yeah. She had absolutely no idea that was going to happen. And who the hell was it that did that?
Oh, I don't remember.
Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? Who brought that up? Damn it. Somebody Charlotte was feuding with. But she had thought it had been cleared. It hadn't been cleared, but she was still given the go-ahead to bring it up. You got to be careful. But as long as it's cool with both workers, talk about real-life stuff a little bit more, makes it a little bit more believable why Casey wants to kick my ass. Because I talked about him being a single dad.
I mean, yeah, that's so degrading to me. Oh, no. We must fight forever.
Know, I would make it sound
agreeing. Fight forever.
Just enough for the
fight
crowd to go,
forever.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because, yeah, I'm a single dad, too.
you just got to watch out that, you know, like, if you're going to do more storylines that are, you know, close to, that touch on the real-life situations, that you also don't insult the fans' characters and make shit up that, like, 100% people are going to know it's false.
Yeah.
A.K.A. But, Lacey Evans, Ric Flair, Charlotte.
Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, like, further to this point, social media has never been as huge as it is. And the internet wrestling community has exploded massively because of it. Everything is posted somewhere on Twitter or Facebook or Gab or Parler or whatever the hell is out there. Use it.
Yep.
Some of the wrestlers will they'll kayfabe with each other on Twitter. Makes it feel a little more real. It's enjoyable. You can tell it's just all part of storyline, but it works.
Yeah, but then there are other wrestlers that will have accounts and post as their character and their real life person, and it's counterintuitive.
Yeah, yeah. Like, don't post as Joe Ennui, and then post as Roman Reigns on a different account.
On the same account.
I keep mispronouncing his last name.
Anoa'i.
Thank you. That's close. Anoa'i.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway. But yeah, that's that, you know, that's my thing. And it's funny. It was one line and I was able to stretch it out this far. But yeah, bring real life back into storylines a little more, kind of like the Attitude Era.
As long as we're not giving birth to hands.
Yeah, don't do shit like that. That's not real life, though.
No, but I mean, that's just saying that, you know, not everything in the Attitude was perfect. Let's focus on the good parts and bring that stuff back.
Mike, what's next? What number are you up to on your list?
I've talked about four on my list so far. All right,
so give me number five.
One of them was number 10, so my number five is not my next one.
But you know, don't reference it like we're doing this in order, because the way you got us going, we're all over the board.
No, you know what I meant. Just next one up. What's up? What's the next one?
In something that I just miss, just the elements that I used to love in pro wrestling that I don't see anymore. I miss backstage character segments. I miss giving wrestlers just a time and just like a setting where just the little spot in the arena where they get to brood and talk out to the camera and just get character stuff out. Like, show me their character, show me some improv skills, show me what they can, you know, show me what they are about, you know, without, you know, like without a backstage interviewer present to throw out inane questions that we don't need answered, without having someone just jump them just for the sake of jumping them, without, you know, some backstage shenanigan happening, you know, just moments where you can just sit a wrestler down and just let them be their character. You know, this goes back to just making me care about a character. You don't get opportunities like that anymore to just see into the head of a pro wrestler and get some kind of vibe about what they are and what they're about.
As long as you don't bring back GTV.
I don't think he was thinking along those lines. I think he was more like, you know, Mankind in the Boiler Room just talking.
Mankind in the Boiler Room, all the, like, all of the, you know, all the manic discussions that Raven would go on.
Oh, the best promos ever were like Mankind in the Boiler Room or Raven's tirades.
Yeah.
Because those were 90% unscripted promos, which ties into what I said earlier.
Yeah, but that's the kind of stuff that informs you who that character is. You don't get that just watching them perform in a match or watching them do like one pose during their entrance. That doesn't tell you anything. You know, give them a live microphone and just a minute and a half of TV time, and just see what happens. Just let them be them.
Casey, what's next on yours?
One for me is, profile the titles or get rid of them. So like, and that ties into a lot of stuff that has been talked about, like building the tag teams. If you're not going to build tag teams and flush out two tag team divisions, let alone one, why have two sets of tag team titles for the men? There are not enough teams as of right now for two titles. I'm not saying they should get rid of having titles on each show, but the way that they're using the tag teams, there doesn't need to be two titles on each show. And as much as like I very much enjoy what R-Truth has done with the 24/7 title, I feel like that's kind of run its course. So if they're not going to do anything new with that and actually like, you know, have legitimate matches, then maybe that one needs to go away or be like, they're not doing anything with that title that makes me care about it. And as much as I don't want to see titles like the US title and the Intercontinental title go away, no one really tries to go after them as much as like the person who has them just has them and defends them. And I'm not talking like, you know, they're the titles that are defended every week. This is the open challenge title. That's great, but you could also have feuds. You're like, oh, well, I just got here. So what am I going to do? I'm going to work my way up the ladder. Getting that Intercontinental or US title is one step on that ladder. And once I hit that plateau, then, you know, I have the confidence to know that I can go for the bigger title, whether it be the WWE or the Universal title. So like, don't just have them as accessories for people to walk around with. Start using those titles so that we can care about them, or get rid of them.
Did anyone else have that on their list?
Number 8, kill the 24/7 championship.
Why though?
Because it's turned into a joke. This is a belt that Mick Foley won, that Mick Foley introduced. And remember this started out as a ratings grab for the third hour of Raw. It was supposed to be like, oh, well, during the third hour of Raw, things are going to get a little unpredictable. You know, here's this belt in the spirit of the 24/7 champion, in the spirit of the hardcore championship. You know, have at it. But since then, it has just become an absolute travesty. You know, I talk about use the talent that you have. Using talent does not mean having them chase after R-Truth every Monday night on Raw. That's not a utilization of talent. That's a lot of people that you're paying that are just having their talents wasted. They didn't go through, you know, all the wrestling training in the world. They didn't travel around making $50 a night, you know, busting their ass and risking their health just to run around an arena after R-Truth's ass. You know, it's such a waste of their talent. And at this point, like, the record books are a travesty because we have to recognize R-Truth as like holding the most championships in the history of WWE. You know, not a Ric Flair, not a John Cena, R-Truth, because he's just keeps getting that belt back over and over. And we have to acknowledge every single fucking one of them. It's literally turned everyone who competes for that belt and everything that belt, you know, forces us to acknowledge is an absolute joke at this point.
Tim, did you have anything about championships?
I do. I've got two different things about two different championships. Now, neither of them have anything to do with 24/7 title, but I'm going to add an 11th thing to the list. get rid of the 24/7 title. I'm agreeing with you guys. Bring back the hardcore title and actually have real, honest to goodness, genuine hardcore matches. You don't need to do a hardcore match for the hardcore title every single week, but you can take that puppy and whoever holds it defends it on both shows.
Basically, you're just saying rename the title.
Like, quit calling it 24/7. Call it, you know, like introduce properly the hardcore championship. Don't call it 24/7 hardcore title. Call it the hardcore championship. And the only matches for that championship are actual old school hardcore matches. You could have two of those, three of those a month. And there's your third hour spice for Raw. And it's something to throw in once a month on SmackDown.
Okay.
I mean, who doesn't want to see a match where somebody gets power bombed or choke slammed into a whole bunch of tacks on the mat?
I'll let you know in about a half hour after watching an exploding barbed wire death match.
Because I was about to bring up the barbed wire. Bring back Lucille, right? So that's my honorable mention. How about that?
Okay.
And then the next one I got, increase the value of the mid-card title. Make it more important and make it the main TV event title a couple of times, two or three times every month.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the things WWE did successfully during the Attitude Era, was they made that title mean something a lot more than it means nowadays. And it wasn't just one person trying to take the title off the title holder. It was the title holder having to deal with three or four separate feuds at a time.
Okay.
And it made for compelling television. It elevated your mid-card. It made all of these wrestlers that we are ho-humming about, it made them more important. So do that.
Okay.
Do that, Jack. Do that. That works. Bring it back.
Okay.
It was a very successful formula.
Okay. Any other title-related things on your list?
Well, this was two things. Like, that was two in one. Increase the value of the mid-card title and tying into it, do it more than just one person chasing the title at a time. Okay. What they've been doing recently with Lashley, it was brilliant. All right.
Okay.
And now have three or four people coming after the his old title. Why not?
All right, Casey. What? Give me something off your list.
I guess, I mean, since we're talking about championships, I was thinking along the lines of like building people up for championships. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of like, randomly giving people title shots that really haven't done anything to earn the title shots. Except for, well, I was a champion once, so I should be able to fight for this title. Yada, yada, yada. Like, build guys up for championships. And I mean, that also ties in with whether it's like mid-card titles or the WWE or the Universal Championship. It's like, there are the champion, the WWE or the Universal Champion, they will defend against somebody. And then if it's booked in a way to keep that feud going, great. And then all of a sudden they finish with that guy, and all of a sudden someone else is just there, and it's like, oh, it's my turn. Well, why is it your turn? What did you do to earn it? Well, I don't know. I was standing in the hallway at the right time and they saw me and I got selected. So like do things like have someone come out and be like, hey, I am this person and I think I deserve a title shot. And here's what I'm going to do to show you that I deserve that title shot. I'm going to go and win, not get 50-50 booked, win a bunch of matches in a row for X amount of time to prove that I deserve to be a champion. But they don't do that because they're worried about, you know, not hurting the integrity of all their wrestlers and doing 50-50 booking and weird-ass finishes with distractions or interference or no contests or all that other stuff. So, like, I mean, everything kind of builds together. You stop doing all that 50-50 booking and crappy finishes, and you can build actual contenders for the title aside from just pulling cards out of a hat of guys that haven't fought for the title yet and then putting it in a new pile that once the cards in the hat are all empty, you can take all those cards, put them back in the hat, and shake it up.
Okay.
Mansoor is undefeated for years in the WWE and has never gotten a title shot. Meanwhile, Sheamus gets a title shot for kicking the champion.
Michael, what's else? Yeah. What else is on your list?
Well, because we're in a similar vein, I would say wrestlers with goals other than championships. You used to have wrestlers who just had either particular grievances with other wrestlers for, you know, actual decent reasons. You had wrestlers who were out to prove things other than just look how great I am. Like, you had wrestlers who like to show off. You had wrestlers who like to embarrass their opponents. You had things that they like to do that wasn't just, I'm going to win the world title, which obviously should be the goal of every wrestler at some point. But there's other things they could be interested in. Tim or Rock, your memory, please help me. Did I go over how to actually like make a star out of Curtis Axel after the Royal Rumble?
Oh,
I don't remember. I've done too many podcasts.
She's done too many podcasts. Well, Casey's new to this. Casey hasn't heard this. I'll tell it to Casey.
I'm more than happy to listen to it because I'm very, very on board with this notion.
So, Curtis Axel was the last guy, to date, that was taken out of a Royal Rumble before he could get into the match.
Yes.
So he came out the next night on Raw and said, like, he was still, he never got eliminated, so he's still in the Royal Rumble.
I remember. That was good.
That was good. Here's what would have been great. If his goal for the next year wasn't to just win a championship, like next night on Raw, there's a match going on and all, Curtis Axel's in a match with somebody who was in the Rumble and he tosses him over the top rope and starts celebrating like he just won a championship.
Nice.
Like he'll like lose the match, but in his head he wins because he just eliminated somebody.
Right.
And you run with that. It could be his own matches. It could be like he could in the middle of somebody else's match. He does a run in, dumps somebody over the top rope and runs.
Yeah. And like just, you could that he literally has that's like 30 weeks of something where he can like go through the list of all the 29 other guys that were in that Rumble.
Yeah.
Well, throw them over the rope and be like, I have thrown over every other person in the Rumble that I didn't even make it to, I should be the winner of that Royal Rumble.
And through all this, he never gets tossed over the top rope.
Yeah.
He treats it just like the Rumble where he saves himself. He rolls back in underneath. He never touches the floor during one of his matches. You sell t-shirts with names on all of them. And every week he comes out, there's another one scratched off.
Absolutely. That would have been awesome. I would have been 100% behind that.
Yeah. Yeah, and like when the last name is left, that's your current IC champion. Let's let him build up to a mid-card feud with it.
Yeah, that would have been great.
That's what I mean. Like a goal like that. Not only is that long-term writing and long-term booking, but that is a goal that doesn't necessarily end with a championship. He could lose that final match, but by then, all the fans want to see is for him to toss the guy over the top rope.
Yeah,
because everyone's going to be behind him at that point.
Oh, for sure. The closest thing that they have to that right now is basically Daniel Bryan saying that he just wants to wrestle on every show all the time.
Yeah,
because that's did he have goals about winning the Rumble and going after the title? Yes, but they seem to be like secondary to the fact of like he wants to be the guy that is out there putting in the work and wrestling matches every single week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not going to do anything with that, but...
Oh, throw it back to Tim. I think we've almost gotten everything off of Tim's list.
There's a couple left on my list.
All right, list them.
I just have to find the list because it's buried because I'm multitasking again. This is absolutely fantastic. That tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, is International Women's Day. So this one I have ties in with it, kind of. And this is my token acknowledgement of International Women's Day. Keep pushing the women's division. Do what it takes to make it as credible as possible. Let the girls offer more input. Grab what sounds like it would work.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they're overall, for the most part, they've done a great job since that, you know, air quotes, revolution took place. Keep it up. Get rid of some more of the goofy garbage. And, well, and one of the things that bothers me, and this is with the entire locker room. When you put somebody of limited skills in with somebody of immense skills, make sure the person with immense skills knows how to carry their opponent and not basically planning themselves for 2 seconds so the more limited worker can get her move off or his, whatever, depending on what you're talking about. One perfect example is watching Shayna in that ring. So many times she's going up against lesser talent that's more eye candy than female wrestler. And she'll plant herself bent over forwards, telegraphing that she's waiting for the kick to the face off the ropes, if that makes any kind of sense at all. Like work on helping Shayna, people like Shayna out with being better able to carry a more limited worker.
Okay. You have one more on your list?
Oh, I got like two more on my list.
You got two more on your list. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What's next on yours?
Let's see. In kind of in a similar vein, because Tim brought up like bring back the hardcore championship, which, you know what, to a degree I agree with. Like, if you can get away with it without changing the TV rating, because that's within our requirements for this. Yeah, more match variety, because right now it's a little bit, you know, what's exhausting about Raw is seeing just singles match after singles match after singles match, and Vince doesn't like tag team matches, so we'll get like one on a show and like a prerequisite one to maybe two women's matches, but it's mostly just men's singles matches. Like, I miss when I could see variety in WWE, when I could see more tag team matches, when I could see a hardcore match, when I could see a cruiserweight match. You know, we've kind of like 205 Live is just something like of a like a non-existent entity in WWE in the grand scale, you know, grand scale of things. But you have that talent that put on very different matches from your big bruisers, and you don't have to, you know, it doesn't mean that like they're going to outshine them or outperform them. Just here's something that feels different. You know, here's a fast-paced match with more high-flying elements, to break up all the guys doing these like superhero moves and big, you know, big power, you know, power lifter, you know. You okay?
Sorry about that.
Okay. But yeah, just like change it up. You have the talent and the rosters to actually give some more variety in your show. So do it. Like, let me see more than just your standard, you know, your bog standard wrestling match, you know, 9 times over the course of 3 hours.
All right, Casey.
Let's fix that commentary.
I was going to put Fire Michael Cole, but he's not on Raw anymore.
Well, I mean, yeah. But, I mean, there are...
Still fire him anyway.
There are commentary problems. There are commentary problems on most shows, or on both shows. Like, too many times, the commentary ends up being less about what we're seeing in the ring and more about, you know, people... commentators talking trash about each other, not driving the story, not talking about what's going on in the ring. But the whole idea of the commentary teams is to provide commentary on what the people are watching on TV. You don't hear commentary teams on other sports taking pot shots at each other, not really focusing on actually what's going on in the ring. So like, let's just direct the commentary back to the wrestling and less about the commentary team.
Blame Vince for that one. It was his edict ages ago. Quit talking about the match in the ring and talk about what's happening backstage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a time and a place for talking about stuff backstage, just not during the matches. If they want to talk about stuff backstage, they should use the commentary to throw to what's going on backstage. Not, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else have that on their list?
Nothing about commentary.
Nothing about commentary. Yeah. All right. Omega, give me another one.
I miss backstories and origins. This is, again, back to elements that I used to enjoy and I don't get anymore. I'm tired of just guys. I'm tired of guys just like, I am a wrestler. Like, tell me why Ricochet is so good at what he does. Tell me why he's, such a high flyer. Tell me why he's so acrobatic in his matches. What did he do to get there? You know, why was that his style rather than, your standard wrestling? Give me something. Like, give me some history to the guys. Give me some kind of origin to why they became a wrestler. Because that ties back into your long-term writing. A big reason why it's hard to write for a lot of these characters, your Bo Dallas sitting around because the writers don't have anything for him. They don't write any backstory for anyone. You know, Bray Wyatt's got a little bit, but that basically got tossed out with his gimmick change. You know, it's not to say they can't ever use it again, but, it's one of the rare times that they've even done it. And it actually worked. Bray Wyatt had a lot of mystique to him during his first run. Like, he was a very imposing, threatening character because he has this ominous background to him. So use it. Do it for more people. It doesn't all have to be, like, super edgy, creepy. But give me a reason why these people exist. Give me a reason why they made it to WWE. And use it for the story. You know, tell a story with it. Tell me why these characters get along with it. Tell me why these characters want to kill each other because of it. You know, interlink some of these people. You know, make it, I'm not asking for like soap opera levels, but we literally have soap opera writers working in WWE, and there's no history in the characters to twist around. Just give me some idea of who they are and where they came from.
Okay. Casey, give me another one.
Don't take NXT people from NXT if you're not going to do anything with them.
Thank you.
Aleister Black and company, because what's the point? they're doing just fine on that black and yellow brand, and people like what they're doing on that black and yellow brand.
No way Jose had a great run.
Congrats to No Way Jose, by the way. Congrats. He's having a kid.
Oh, nice. Hopefully his name has no rhyme to it. But yeah, they move these people around to quote unquote shake things up. And they don't, like, the only thing that really got shook is now they have to go to work on a different day. So the only thing that got shooken up is the schedule of the wrestler. Nothing else. So
IWC got very shook.
Sure. But still, yeah, like they're shook now because they don't get to see the wrestlers that they want to see wrestle. It just, I don't know. If you're going to bring someone over, use them for 2 weeks and then bury them in catering, what's the point?
I would be happy with just utilizing them correctly. And not embarrassing them or ruining them the first, right out of the gate. As soon as Aleister Black got on Raw, they added that fucking squeak to his entrance. You just took away what made that entrance cool, you fucking idiots. Don't highlight the thing that's raising him up like that's supposed to be there. It's not fucking idiots. Kevin Dunn, fuck you.
Yeah, well, I mean, if people don't notice the pattern, a lot of the things in our list all kind of end up tying together one way or another.
Pretty much.
Because that's just kind of how it works.
All right, give me another one, Omega.
Last one on my list is, anything can happen in the WWE, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah. No, that's what they said. How long has it been since you heard that? Because, no, there's many things that cannot happen in the WWE. Give me surprises again. Like, just every now and then, like, give me a world title match on Raw where you don't, where it's not like a situation where with like The Miz, where this is just being done to get the belt onto Lashley for Mania. You know, have a championship match once in a while on Raw. Like, every now and then you just see the world championship up for grabs and it's not a pay-per-view. You know, not, you know, fat chance it's actually going to change hands, but, you know, I wasn't expecting a world title match and now we got one. That's awesome.
Sheesh.
When was the last time that actually happened, though? Wow.
Exactly. You think about it. Yeah, it doesn't happen anymore.
Nope.
Yeah, and
they've had three world title matches in the last 5 months on Raw. Just saying. Anyway, continue.
But even then, I just want things to like shock me coming out of Raw. You know, if you put on a U.S. Championship match, maybe it is someone like a Ricochet that would deserve that title. You know, and just let me see a title change. You know, just out of nowhere, just, oh my God, that actually just happened. You know, someone who deserved the belt got the belt and they didn't have to run, get sent through the ringer to get it. Or they didn't have, you have to beat every member of like the Hurt Business in order to get one title shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, I miss, again, back to the things I just miss, because they used to do things like this. I miss those shock moments where just the thing, like Tim said, like, well, you can't give them what they want. Every now and then you have to. And if they do that completely out of nowhere, I'm going to tune in next week to see if they do something like that again. Or if I find out, oh, that actually happened on Raw and I missed it. Well, that's my mistake. I can't keep skipping Raw, can I?
Casey, how much do you have left on your list?
I've gone through, just based on myself and everybody else, my list is been used up. I have a couple of honorable mentions left that aren't necessarily great, but usable.
We'll hold them. Tim, finish your list.
I got two on my list, and this one I'm bringing up. WCW used to overdo this to the point it got ridiculous. However, once in a while, I really enjoyed the fact that things didn't get resolved at the end of the show. Cliffhangers. Bring back cliffhangers for some of the shows. And make it, like the show ends in the middle of an attack on someone. Next episode shows video of the outcome. And that could perhaps lead to the main event of that night's main match, which is not a bad idea. It's effective writing. WWE wants to be a little bit more Hollywood with their writing. So why not do some things that shows like 911, 911 Lone Star, SWAT, for example, really, really popular shows. Every now and then they'll have a cliffhanger ending that leaves you right in the middle of like, what the f-? And you're definitely going to tune in the following week to see what the hell happened.
You know, I had that on my list for a while, and WCW was in my head as soon as I wrote it down.
That's why I prefaced it with WCW killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the moment in my head that comes through is Sting ziplining, not rappelling, ziplining down toward the ring, and Tony Schiavone just screaming, "We gotta go!" And Sting hadn't even hit the ring yet; he hadn't even landed before they cut away.
Exactly, and the show was still going on for the live audience,
yeah,
which is perfectly fine. Instead of like WWE doing their dark matches after Raw goes off the air. Well, we don't know anything about that because that's just like, they're house show teasers. And WCW would go for a full hour after they went off the air, which would give them 30 minutes content for the following week, which, gave you a little bit of lead time for your show next week where you didn't have to hotshot so much of it. Wink, wink.
All right. Round out your list, Tim.
Well, the last one here, it's going to piss a lot of people off, but in a good way. When Brock Lesnar was the champion, we'd see him on Raw, if we were lucky, once every 4 months. And then he would work, what, 9 out of 12 pay-per-views?
Half the pay-per-views.
Okay, there you go, 6 out of the 12. The main title holder appears on TV only occasionally. Mostly just for your pay-per-view storyline build-up. He doesn't wrestle every week, but he does step into the ring once in a while. And the reason why I say this pisses people off, but in a good way, I don't care how much bitching people have done about Brock Lesnar not showing up on Raw, not being around for anything but half the pay-per-views. When he did show up, he packed whatever stadium he was in. He was the talk of most of the pay-per-views he was defending his title in. People were interested in that match because they did nothing but talk about the pay-per-view, the upcoming match, the feud. This goes back to the late 80s, early 90s in WWF at the time, WWE. They would have Hulk Hogan show up, promote the house show where he was going to defend the title. He never wrestled on television, ever. He always only ever wrestled at the house shows. So if you wanted to see the WWE title match, you had to lay out that money and go to the house show. Now, this is all before the pay-per-views and the internet even and everything else like that. The house shows was the moneymaker for the company. So that's, you know, that's why they would do that back then. In today's day and age, it would give the ratings a bump. Oh, he's going to be on to talk about this, that, and the other thing next week on Raw. Well, we haven't seen him fight since the last pay-per-view 4 weeks ago. Let's see what he's got to say about the next one coming up in 2 weeks. And like I say, he wrestles occasionally, once in a blue moon, and not every wrestling match he's in when he does wrestle on TV is for the title.
Okay.
And that's my list.
Casey said he had honorable mentions.
Sometimes I would like to see matches that go longer than 2 to 3 minutes, you know. Build the match, tell a story. That'd be nice. Also, you know, you don't have to cram like 16 matches in 3 hours that way. You can let the wrestlers be wrestlers. That'd be kind of cool. Let's kill the dumb storylines like Ric Flair apparently theoretically getting Lacey pregnant and then having them like backpedal on it 2 weeks later because everybody knows that it was the dumbest thing ever. Another one was like, if you're going to have a Legends night, let's not treat the Legends like pieces of trash. Otherwise, why have a Legends night? I don't know if anybody else feels the same way as I do about that. And the last one, it kind of ties into like building people up, but like, let's maybe not have repeating rivalries all the time. Get some fresh rivalries going on, not just 1 week, two guys who haven't wrestled each other and then forget about it, but like build a storyline around two people who haven't wrestled each other and draw it out for a little while, as opposed to having, you know, if you look at the roster of the top guys that are wrestling all the time, it's very similar to the same guys wrestling each other over and over again. Freshening things up will hopefully build the lower card into guys that could carry the show. It will also develop stories. It will make us care about them. It will also make those characters believable to be going after things like championships and stuff if we have new rivalries that develop them. That's kind of me. And like I say, those aren't, I mean, they're not really great legs to stand on, but I thought they were worth mentioning honorably.
Okay.
And you honorably did so.
I wouldn't have anything.
Honorable issue.
I wouldn't have anything else to add.
Nope. No, my list is empty.
All right. So they fixed Raw. Let's see if it changes tomorrow, huh? Huh?
Let's see if they listen to us like they sometimes do.
But we've been going about almost 90 minutes. We're done for the night.
That's it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Don't forget, we're back at it next Sunday at 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. And a bit of a programming note for those of us in North America. Next Sunday night is the 14th of March. That is the first day of daylight savings. Just a little hint. Okay? So make sure when you go to bed on the 13th, jump your clocks an hour forward or you're going to miss the webcast. And we know that nobody should ever do that. Miss the webcast, I mean.
I love
but
it.
But that being said, tomorrow night, hold on, immediately hold on following, what?
I just love those nights because I'm live during those nights. when the clocks change either direction, I'm live. Those are my favorite. Anyway, continue, Tim.
Anyway, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw's post-show.
Yeah, it's the Raw post-show live tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, hey, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, another edition of the Wild, Wacky, the Unusual. No, wait, that's Saturday. It's the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, we'll have news, notes, NXT, a discussion of some kind. It's The Rack live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out last week's episode where we talked all about championship reigns and why we need more surprises when it comes to championship reigns.
Saturday, midnight-ish, or as close as we get to it, the weird, the unusual, the bald-headed CB Radio.
Okay. Trying to just figure out where he was going with that one. Yeah. Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. You can also check out CB Radio Not So Live, which will be available this coming Tuesday as we talk all about AEW Revolution. Yep. It's going to be a thing. CBRadio.com.
There you go. That's weird. Yeah, of course, there's Fortnite throughout the week.
Yeah, Saturday night, Fortnite with friends. Fortnite on Thursdays will return probably when the new season starts.
There you go. What else are you doing? Anything?
I have plenty. There's a book review coming, probably a couple book reviews coming, and we have a whole WrestleMania coverage. That's just anyway, yeah, it's a bunch of stuff. Follow the channel on twitch.tv/WJLI for live content.
There you go, yeah. And, of course, next Sunday night, we're, like I said at the top of this, we're live at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. That being said,
to preview a pay-per-view.
Yeah, we're going to preview the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Pay-per-preview.
I believe it's, yeah.
Well, it's the 14th, and then the 21st is the pay-per-view, so.
Yeah.
Next week is the pay-per-view preview.
It's at Wild Talk Radio. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that if you say that super, super fast, that could be a really tricky tongue twister.
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. WTR tonight on both Twitter and Facebook.
There you go. Follow me at Flames Forums for wrestling talk, hockey talk, food, just general silliness. If you want to get political, get incorrect, get uncensored, follow me at Voice Insanity. And if you're just interested in food exclusively, follow me at Man Kitchen TV. But Omega's got me beat.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of what I do. So, if you want to see what I am up to, you can find me a whole bunch of different places on the internet. If you want to see me... hang on. I'm easily distracted tonight. So, if you want to find me over on Facebook
Look,
or
Squirrel.
Wait, where?
No, it's Owl Explosion. Oh my god, his back.
If you want to...
Am I wrong?
No. So, if you want to see what I am up to throughout the week and every other social media platform, you can find me over on Facebook or Instagram under the name The Plastic Addict. Everywhere else, you find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel. That is the website, TJOmega.net. And that is the Twitch channel over on twitch.tv/TJOmega. Find me places. I'm all over.
Cool.
Casey's only on Twitter, though.
Yep, I am. If you are looking to add a follower to your account that will not dilute your feed in any way whatsoever, you can find me on Twitter at Kyle Driver, where I occasionally tweet things and more often don't.
Tweet more often, Cage.
Well, I'll try, but I work in a job during the week that requires driving. And I don't want to get tickets for tweeting.
not while you're driving, but after you're done driving, just for the hell of it, tag Omega and say, oh, look, a squirrel.
I'll be sure to do that.
See what happens.
All right, wrap it up, Tim.
Well, that's it, everybody. We're done. Have a great week.
WildTalkRadio.com.